Well, good morning. It's good to be here today, although for those who were here last week, I've got a tough act to follow, don't I? After the sermon last week, Wiggy said, "Daddy, he's the best preacher ever." And he was good. And he fired me up and gave me excitement and a sense of purpose when I left here last week. And to tell you the truth, I've needed that. I needed that last week, and I've needed it for the past year. Because spiritually, these past 12 months have been the worst in my life. For me and Marty, it's been very tough. Some of you probably wondered why we showed up on your doorstep the Sunday after Thanksgiving last year and kept coming. But you were kind enough and polite enough not to ask. But it has been tough on us. And the way I kind of see my life, and many probably the same way the lives of Christians, is you kind of got different spheres of your life. Maybe use the analogy of a three-legged stool, and you've got, you know, your family life anchoring one leg of the stool, and then you've got your church life anchoring another leg of the stool, and then you've got your work life or your hobbies and your outreach type life as the other part of your stool. And over the summer, one of those legs began to get very wobbly, and it was very disconcerting for us. The church we've been attending for 4 or 5 years was a church that I love, Marty loved, the kids loved. I don't think I had matured as an adult any more than I had at that church, and the kids were growing. And it was tough to see things begin to disravel and fall apart. And as a role of a teacher there, when you had people in your class that were resigning or being fired, you had other people in your class that were doing the firing and doing the other side of the spectrum. And here I am in the middle trying to hold things together, not just in the class, but trying to help the church as a whole. And it began to wear us down and wear us down and wear us down. And I could see kind of in the middle that neither side was right and neither side was all wrong. And as emotions were building and building and building, it got tougher to try to hold things together. And after quite a few Sundays of weeping through the worship service, not hearing from God, just to survive, Marty and I showed up here. And thank you for your love and your support for the past 9 months. This church means a lot to me, and it's been exciting to be back here. My neighbors, the Quarles, are here today, and they told me to give my testimony before about how I was 7 and a half at a revival service, and Stephanie and Blake and Blake right there. I was sitting right where my grandma is, right there, and 7 and a half years old, at a revival service, right in front of you, Blake, and when I felt Jesus touch my heart for the first time in a real way, that's when I became a Christian right in this church here. And it's been exciting to have my children in here for the past 9 months or so, and be able to tell them those stories, be able to drive through the cemetery like I did with Popeye every Sunday, with Popeye and Mom in their car. Riding on the front seat right in the middle, you know, not like we can do these days. And then have Bible school, you know, and I tell them about our Bible school days when there wasn't a fellowship hall and we sat on the front steps of the parsonage down there that eat our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I come back to pick up the kids the first Sunday and they've got chicken legs and vegetables. That's quite different than it was for us, but it's been nice to be back here. This church has made an eternal impact on my life. And my family's life. And I've been thinking a lot about eternity lately and what's going to go with us when we leave this world. A preacher of mine said one time, you probably heard this, you can't attach a U-Haul to the back of the hearse. Right? There's not too many things that we can take with us when we go. And this has really been my mind lately. Marty's grandma died 2 months ago. Her grandpa died last month, and as I was with that Edward and Estelle in the house, and cleaning up, getting ready for the visitation and all, and we were trying to get things cleaned up, and we were stacking things in his workshop, and that was, what, he's 93, And his workshop was very tidy. Now, it had his woodworking tools on one side, had his saws over here. It had some unfinished projects in there, boards cut and kind of sitting on the saw. It had his fishing lures back in the back hanging on line, some to be fixed and some ready to go. And you guys have probably had that feeling before, you know, standing in somebody's place. The ladies, might be a lady's kitchen who's passed away, and you see how she stacked her dishes or where she kept her cups and things like that. So I was standing in Dallas chair just thinking about, you know, when he put that saw right there, he's planning on using it again, you know. When he had that board half cut, he was planning on finishing that board and finishing the project. When he had that broken fishing lure, he was planning on fixing it and fishing again. And so you start seeing, you know, it's kind of sweet, but it's kind of a little bit sad. At the same time, it's touching, and it's thought-provoking to think, you know, he spent all this time in this workshop, you know. What things in our lives, though, really last beyond us? Probably some of us will start taking those things to different places, and it won't be Dallas' workshop anymore. And so I begin to think, you know, what things are eternal? I had the same feeling a week before that, in the middle of July. Mima, I love Mima so much, I decided to bless her with one of our kittens we had. It had nothing to do with the fact nobody else would take it. I knew she needed a kitten. And so we took the kitten over to her house. It was about, you know, 2 weeks old, about this big. And we were keeping it in the pump shed, the little house down under the house, below the house there. And I went over to check on it, and, you know, I couldn't find it. I knew it was in there somewhere because the door was shut. And so I got my hands and knees and kind of was crawling around the pump shed. And it was back amongst where Popeye used to kill, where all the paint cans were. And I saw the paint cans, you know, sitting back there, you know, tidied up real nice and neat. And as I was getting back there, that same feeling came over me, you know, half-used paint can. Now, that paint can was used and tacked together and put back in there very neatly. So it was going to be used again. No, but, you know, I'm sure they're dry now, but they're still stacked real neatly. That same feeling of, you know, what things do we leave behind that are forever? You know, how can we make an eternal investment in our lives? And so that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. Now, I feel a little bit sorry for the person who comes behind after me, has to look at my stuff, because it won't be like Popeye's, it won't be like Dallas. I'm not quite as neat and tidy, and actually, my office was robbed, broken into about a month, 6 weeks ago or so. And they broke into the window, stole the PlayStation, stole a few things like that. And the cops were there fingerprinting everything. And they fingerprinted the windows and the things like that, the window seals. And they're looking around, what else was bothered? And my office manager said, I'm like, let's go look. And they got to my office. My office manager said, that guy's eyes went, wow, they really messed up in here. And so I was like, this is what it always is. They didn't touch this back here. So I feel sorry for the person that has to come after me. I'm not sure if those feelings of order will be with them. But let's open God's Word today. If you got your Bibles with you, turn to the 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. So, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. So if you want to know what's eternal and what's going to last beyond us, what kind of things should we have invested our time, energy, resources in that are eternal, the Word of God said in 2 Timothy 3:16, says, all Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So let's go to the Scripture to see what answers we may find there on what things are eternal. So 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Now, why don't we talk about death? Now, a lot of times you hear speakers and different people, you know, live like it was the last day of their life, live like Jesus was coming tomorrow. And it's to me, I think, a healthy perspective to have. And one of the reasons is, you know, all of us will at one time, you know, face our last day, whether we know it's going to be our last day or not. The Bible says everyone is destined to die, and after that to face judgment. Except for three people I can think of. Right. It's kind of interesting that, you know, in all the history of the world, you know, we have two records of people who didn't die. You know, Elijah was taken away in a fiery chariot, and Enoch, who walked with God, all of a sudden was no more. And so we got two that didn't die. So they were here. I couldn't preach the sermon today, right? We have to go somewhere else. And there was one poor fellow that died twice, Lazarus. So you got to wonder, was he a lucky man or was he an unlucky man? He had to die twice. It's interesting to think about that. You know, all are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment, except for Enoch, Elijah, and Lazarus. So anyway, let's look at verse 11. Okay, verse 11 here. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That's kind of sobering there, isn't it? To see that some of the things we think are good things may be burned up, you know, on the day. And you see the imagery here as a man escaping through the flames? Imagine you're in your home, and your home burned down, and you made it out, but nothing with you. That's what Paul is saying heaven will be like for those who don't build their lives, those Christians who don't do the things that are eternal. Those things will be burned up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that man. I would hate to be there on that capital D day, you know, the day of judgment. And Sarah Alice is there too, and she's getting all these rewards for all the good, godly things that she has done, the way she's invested her life and her children and her grandchildren, and gets all these rewards. And then I'm here in sin's clothes. It's too late then, isn't it? I don't want to be like that. And I was trying to think of a good analogy, you know, what it would be like, you know, how can I think about that in my own life? And as close as I can get to heaven is Augusta National, okay? I would love to go play golf at Augusta National. That could be my reward on the day, okay? That would be my heaven, okay? And so, let's say I was going to Augusta National, and I had all the excitement that one would have about getting there. You know, I didn't have to bring anything because all my rewards are going to be given to me when I get there. I'm thinking about the nice Callaway clubs I'm going to get. I'm thinking about the gold, Titleist Pro V1s I'll be able to use. Who knows what kind of golf shoes I'm going to have that day, right? And so I go through the gate, and I get up to the first tee, and I see the guy in front of me getting ready to tee off there, and he is decked out with his slick, smooth clothes that are tailored and fit just right. His golf shoes are just perfect and shiny. And then I'm next in line, and I get up there, and I don't have any golf clubs. I don't have any shoes. Matter of fact, I wanted a pair of tidy whities that stings and burns. That's all I got on. Right? And to me, that's kind of the comparison of what it would be like to get to heaven, to be there, to be on the first hole of Augusta National with no rewards. And I want to try to live my life in a way that I don't escape through the flames, but I leave behind things that stand the test of fire. And what kinds of things do stand that test of fire? Souls. No, our souls. The souls of those we have influence over. And I don't care what else happens to my children, what success or not they are in this world, is if they're not in heaven with me, I don't think I have done my job as a dad. Now, I can't make them be saved. There's no saving I can do on my own. But you know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Now, if I'm leading my family, am I leading my horse? He's out in the middle of the desert, chances of him drinking are pretty slim. Right? But if I continually lead that horse to water, have the water in front of him day after day after day after day, I've done what I could do to get that horse to drink. And that's how I see my job as a dad, to try to lead my children down the right path. And I can't save a single one of them, but thanks be to God, on August the 5th, 2007, Wiggins accepted Jesus, and on June 16th, 2011, Steve Murray accepted Jesus. So we got two down, one to go. Right? And that's exciting to me. And sometimes I wonder, how often do I get my priorities wrong? You know? If I'm teaching more about how to throw a curveball and how to read the Bible, if I stress out more about what school my child will get into rather than what kind of disciple he will be. See, I'm investing in the things of the world, not in the things that are eternal. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So hopefully as a dad, I can have the perspective of, I want to seek God first for myself and for my family and all those other things. Those curveballs that snap off right the plate. Those schools that will teach my children how to be effective in the world and how to be productive. Those are the other things that will come when I have my priorities in order. Now, sometimes I wish I could always keep that heavenly perspective on things. And sometimes I think we get things a little bit confused. And I thought about it again the day when Steve and Andrew were baptized here. Yeah. That was an outward sign of an inward commitment to God and a life-changing moment. And I wonder what was happening in heaven when that was going on here. You know, when two people made a commitment to Lord Jesus to have their sins forgiven for eternity, that's eternal. That's an eternal change there. See, I imagine the heavens and the angels were, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! And I see the heavenly host just praising God for what happened in their lives. You know, and as we sit here and reflected during that time, you know, that's what I was thinking. Now, this is a heaven-changing moment for them and for heaven, because heaven's wider now with two more people in it. And then I wonder when Tiger Woods sinks that last putt on the 18th hole and wins the tournament, and the fans are going crazy! He's pumping his fist! What do you think the angels are doing? Sometimes we get too caught up and be excited about the things of the world and not excited enough with the things of heaven, the things that are eternal. I'm cheering for you still. So, what stands to test the fire? We talked about souls. That's something that we can invest in. What way can we invest in the souls of the people we love and the people we don't even know that live across the other side of the world possibly? And I think Peter has a good way of looking at that. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. And Peter here is talking about the end time. And you know that fellow back on May the 21st said the world was going to end, and brought a lot of ridicule to himself and his followers and things like that. To me, he kind of hurt Christianity as a whole, because people that are not Christians, they all, this is what you guys are, you know, kind of whack jobs or whatever. But one positive thing that guy did for me, for just a second I thought, this is right. What I don't think he is, because the Bible says no man will know the day. But what if he were right? Would I do anything differently leading up to May 21st? And I would. And it was interesting to think, all right, if I only had 3 days to go, would I do my schedule that I was doing? And the answer is no. And so how can I capture that feeling of urgency that each day matters for God? And that's what all the New Testament apostles had. If you read the writings of John and James and Peter here, they knew the day could be any time, and there was an urgency. And these 12 men and a few more apostles took the Word of God in a short period of time and spread the name of Jesus over all the all the intellectual world at that time, in a short period of time, they had the urgency. And I wonder sometimes if we don't need to have that urgency. I know I do, on a more daily basis. And so let's look at this verse here. 1 Peter 4:7.
The end of all things is near.
Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So, verse 7, the end of things is near. Verse 8, above all, love each other deeply. And love is important, not just in the end times, but, you know, all the time. Now, when Jesus was asked, you know, all these commandments, you know, what is the greatest? And Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and your mind. The second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, this was years before when Jesus was saying those words, but love was important when Jesus was here. Now, Peter is seeing these as the end times, and love is important above all love. So, I've wondered with the story I was telling you about my church. At my office, apples and oranges compared to churches, but in the past 7 years, I've had to let a couple of people go, and one elected to leave on her own, and so there were three people that have joined my office that have left. All three came back as patients. Why did they do that? Because they knew I loved them, you know, and they loved me, and I wonder, as especially with different Christian groups, you know, if we love more and focus more on loving each other, because it says love covers more to the sins, couldn't we, as a whole church, get along better? We focus less on who was right and focus more, you know, on love. I even think we can disagree if we love each other and still be united. But love matters. And love is eternal. And there's different ways that we can love and different ways that we can love others. And sometimes I think, I know I do, I get a little upset with those who sin. I do. It bothers me, people who sin. And sometimes we as Christians really pick out some of the sins we really get mad about. You know, lifestyle issues and things like that, and we can really fuss at them. And I heard a pastor say the other day, he said, we're the only army, talking about the army of Christians, we're the only army that shoots an injured soldier. That when there's a big sin in somebody's life, too often we'll take this and condemn them rather than loving them back to righteousness. And that can make a big difference in eternity for that soldier, you know, that one that's suffering with the sin issue. Can we love them back into full graces in the kingdom, or are we going to shoot the soldier, you know, when he's down? Maybe take the, you know, if a horse gets broke, shoot him, get rid of him type thing? Or can we love him? And I think if we could love more, you know, this world would be a different place. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. You know, at quite a few weddings and times like that, you know, we'll hear 1 Corinthians talked about. I'm just going to hit one of the verses from 1 Corinthians here.
Now, verse 7 says, talking about love,
it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. See, these things are going to be gone. And what's going to remain? Love. And you guys are a loving church. I heard Tim talking about the things that you guys did for that needy household. That's love. That's an investment in that person's life. It's supplies, but the love you brought with you, that's eternal. So that's soul changing there. And you know, when you guys showed up at the funeral the other day, Wiggins said, hey, Susan's here. Granny Ginger's here. I thought, come in. That was love to me and Marnie. some of these things that we do, though, are eternity changing. And as I thought about Dallow's shed, I kind of saw it as a waste of time when I was sitting there that day cleaning up and doing those things. I was actually jumping it up by taking stuff out of the house and putting it in the shed. But, you know, I saw the saw that he made our dinner tray with, which is in our kitchen right now. I saw the fishing lures that he took me fishing with. And I thought he probably took me fishing because I was such a great company to be with and such a good fisherman and things like that. But you know, he didn't know me at first, but he knew more. He loved me. So he'd take me fishing in these special spots only he had permission to in these plantations. We'd catch lots of fish. So through that shed, Dallow was eternal because of the things, the way he loved money and his family, the way he loved me. And you know, all those cans in Popeye's shed, you know what they were used for? The paint, the picnic tables at the pond. Yeah. To paint those bridges and to seal the dock that's down there. Was he making those tables for his own enjoyment? Well, some. But how many hundreds or thousands of people, I mean, how many Sunday school classes have had meetings down there at the pond because of his investment? It was a table, it was a paint job, but it's had eternal qualities to his investment. And you guys here at this church have had an eternal investment on our lives, especially this past year, as y'all have loved and not questioned, as you have supported us and allowed us to heal. I was meeting with Vic for breakfast a few months ago, and I love Pastor Vic, and we're talking about a few things, and I said, no, Vic, the first Sunday back at Leesville was the first Sunday that I heard from God, but I wasn't sitting there wondering about, oh, what can I do, and what's this person thinking, and this, and I actually was able to just listen to you and hear God speak to you through you. I was able again to pray again, and Vic, I don't know how long I'll be at Leesville. And he stopped me and said, it doesn't matter. He said, as long as you're there, I'm your pastor. And that meant a lot to me. So he wasn't looking at, the big picture. He wanted to love me for however many days I was here. And that's going to make an eternal difference on my life. And so if we could all do this, if I could do this better, if we could love today like there was no tomorrow, then it'll all be gain whether tomorrow we're here or in heaven, because that would be an eternal investment that will leave an eternal legacy. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for this day, this Sunday, your holy day. Lord, I thank you for the chance to be here at my home church, and no matter where I am, this will always be my home church. These people will always be my family. And I will always love them, and hopefully they will always love me. And Father, I pray for Vic and Bev, for their ministry in Africa. I pray for a safe return here to his flock. Lord, I pray that today, on this Lord's Day, that we could do things that are good, we could do things that are holy, Lord, we could do things today that make you smile, Lord, that we could make an investment in this world, in our lives, in the lives of our family and friends, that would stand the test of fire, that we would be here not just from years from now, but for eternity. Help us live lives that make a difference in this world and make a difference in heaven for eternity. I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.